Chapter 85. The Bourbon throne is illegitimate, because not founded on the nation's will, but propped up for the profit of a few. Comrades, is this not so?
A grenadier, yes, verily, sire.
You are the angel of the Lord to us. We'll march with you to death or victory.
Shouts.
At this moment a howling dog crosses in front of them with a cockade tied to its tail. The soldiery of both sides laugh loudly. Napoleon forms both bodies of troops into one column. Peasantry run up with buckets of sour wine and a single glass. Napoleon takes his turn with the rank and file in drinking from it. He bids the whole column follow him to Grenoble and Paris. Exeunt soldiers headed by Napoleon. The scene shuts.
Scene IV, Schönbrunn, the gardens of the palace.
Fountains and statuary are seen around, and the Gloriette colonnade rising against the sky on a hill behind. The ex-Empress Marie-Louise is discovered walking up and down. Accompanying her is the King of Rome, now a blue-eyed, fair-haired child in the charge of the Countess of Montesquieu. Close by is Count Nieberg, and at a little distance Meneval, her attendant and Napoleon's adherent. The Emperor Francis and Metternich enter at the other end of the parterre.
Marie-Louise, with a start, here are the Emperor and Prince Metternich.
Wrote you as I directed?
Nieberg, promptly so. I said your Majesty had not pardoned this mad move of your imperial spouse, and made yourself a ward of the Allies, adding that you had vowed irrevocably to enter France no more.
Marie-Louise, your worthy zeal has been a trifle swift.
My meaning stretched not quite so far as that.
And yet it matters little.
Nothing matters much.
The Emperor and Metternich come forward. Nieberg retires.
Francis, my daughter, you did not a whit too soon voice your repudiation.
Have you seen what the Allies have papered Europe with?
Marie-Louise, I have seen nothing.
Francis, please you read it, Prince.
Metternich, taking out a paper,
the powers assembled at the Congress here owe it to their own troths and dignities, and to the furtherance of social order, to make a solemn declaration, thus.
By breaking the convention as to Elba, Napoleon Bonaparte forthwith destroys his only legal title to exist, and as a consequence has hurled himself beyond the pale of civil intercourse.
Disturber of the tranquility of the world, there can be neither peace nor truce with him, and public vengeance is his self-sought doom.
Signed by the plenipotentiaries.
Marie-Louise, pale, oh God, how terrible.
What shall she begins weeping.
King of Rome, is it Papa they want to hurt like that, dear Mama Quayu?
Then 'twas no good my praying for him so, and I can see that I am not going to be a king much longer.
Countess of Montesquieu,
retiring with the child,
pray for him, Monseigneur, morning and evening just the same. They plan to take you off from me. But don't forget do as I say.
King of Rome, yes, Mama Quayu, I will.
But why have I no pages now?
And why does my mama the Empress weep so much?
Countess of Montesquieu, we'll talk elsewhere.
Montesquieu and the King of Rome withdraw to back.
Francis, at least, then, you agree not to attempt to follow Paris ward your conscience lacking husband, and create more troubles in the state?
Remember this, I sacrifice my every man and horse ere you rule France again.
Marie-Louise, I am pledged already to hold by the Allies, let that suffice.
Metternich, for the clear good of all, your Majesty, and for your safety and the King of Rome's, it most befits that your imperial father should have sole charge of the young king henceforth, while these convulsions rage.
That this is so you will see, I think, in view of being installed as Parma's Duchess, and take steps therefore.
Marie-Louise, coldly, I understand the terms to be as follows.
Parma is mine, my very own possession, and as a counterquit, the guardianship is ceded to my father of my son, and I keep out of France.
Metternich, and likewise this. All missives that your Majesty receives under Napoleon's hand, you tender straight the Austrian cabinet, the seals unbroke, with those received already. Francis, you discern how vastly to the welfare of your son this course must tend? Duchess of Parma throne, you shine a wealthy woman, to endow your son with fortune and large landed fee. Marie Louise, bitterly, I must have Parma. And those being the terms perforce accept. I weary of the strain of statecraft and political embroil. I long for private quiet. And now wish to say no more at all.
Menival, who has heard her latter remarks, turns sadly away.
Francis, there's not to say. All is in train to work straightforwardly.
Francis and Metternich depart. Marie Louise retires towards the child, and the Countess of Montesquieu at the back of the parterre, where they are joined by Nieberg. Enter in front de Montrand, a secret emissary of Napoleon, disguised as a florist examining the gardens. Menival recognizes him and comes forward.
Menival, why are you here, de Montrand? All is hopeless. De Montrand, wherefore? The offer of the Regency I come empowered to make, and will conduct her safely to Strasbourg with her little son, if she shrink not to breach her as a man, and tiptoe from a postern unperceived? Menival, though such quaint gear would mold her to a youth fair as Adonis on a hunting morn, yet she'll refuse. A German prudery sits on her still, more, needed by her arts there's no, will left to her. I conjured her to hold aloof, sign nothing. But in vain. De Montrand, looking towards Marie Louise, I fain would put it to her privately. Menival, a thing impossible. No word to her without a word to him, you see with her, Nieberg to wit. She grows indifferent to dreams as regent, visioning a future wherein her son and self are two of three, but where the third is not Napoleon. De Montrand, in sad surprise, I may as well go hence then as I came, and kneel to heaven for one thing, that success attend Napoleon in the coming throes. Menival, I'll walk with you for safety to the gate, though I am as the Emperor's man suspect, and any day may be dismissed. If so I go to Paris.
Exeunt Menival and de Montrand.
Spirit ironic, had he but persevered, and biased her to slip the breeches on, and hie away, who knows but that the map of France had shaped, and it will never now.
There enters from the other side of the gardens Maria Carolina, ex-queen of Naples, and grandmother of Marie Louise. The latter, dismissing Montesquieu and the child, comes forward.
Maria Carolina, I have crossed from Hetzendorf to kill an hour. Why art so pensive, dear? Marie Louise, ah, why? My lines rule ruggedly. You doubtless have perused this vicious cry against the Emperor? He's outlawed to be caught alive or dead, like any noisome beast. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.